something you should be aware of is that when I got here, the legislature had already said that SOA needed to take over the docketing for the ALR cases. So that's 25,000-30,000 cases that we need to incorporate into our internal practice. The way that system has worked up until now has been extraordinarily fax dependent. And so folks have been faxing a document in, faxing another one out. And our entire information architecture has kind of been based on that model, that we have these not very good copies of paper put into folders that look like they would have back in the day when we had paper files. So there was already a major technology change in the air when I got here. In fact, soon after I got here, we awarded a contract to completely redo SOA's information management system to Journal Technologies. And so we are a good way through the implementation of that new system. And that's kind of going to be driving a lot of what we have to talk about today in terms of changed processes and changed rules. But that's not that kind of pressure to make that system work better isn't the only one that we face. There's also, when I started doing administrative law 20 odd years ago, as a clerk at the Third Court, when you got the administrative record, you had to go down to a separate dungeon-like storage room where the administrative records were and load up your cart with a box that looked like somebody had composted a bunch of thrown away photocopies in it. And so whenever we drew for cases, there was a little bit of a friendly competition to see who could not get the administrative law case. That kind of approach to the record isn't going to hack it anymore in an age when the courts are used to searchable, clean, uniformly formatted PDFs. And so we have to get our PFDs in a good PDF format in order to create a basic set of documents that are going to become the administrative record and work better with the judiciary under its e-filing system. We also had a case assignment format that was pretty heavy on pitching in and volunteering and making sure everything was covered, and a little bit light on forward planning and predictability. And so we found that our system for assigning cases internally to SOA was not consistent with nationwide best practices. And another thing that was here when I came onto the job was the division between these two gentlemen, Victor and Shane. And while most of what I'm going to do today is theme setting and talking about kind of the big picture and why we're doing what we're doing, this is one concrete takeaway. Separating Victor's and Shane's functions is really important for maintaining the bar on ex parte communication with parties and counsel. And so Shane is not in the chain of command for hearings. Victor is over the hearings folks. So Shane is responsible for interfacing with you all. If you have complaints about a case or a practice or some other aspect of our business, if you talk to Shane or the docketing folks, we can work on things without crossing the line into actually interfering directly with Victor and the chain of command for the hearing side. And so that kind of outward facing division between their two functions helps to preserve and reinforce the prohibition on ex parte communication that might impact a given hearing. And so what I'd like to ask you to do is if you have a complaint or concern about some technical thing, we might get Victor involved because he's actually managing the hearings. And so if it's something about getting documents distributed to the judges or making Zoom work better, obviously he's going to be the one who makes that happen. But we're trying to make those information flows go through Shane so we don't get the communication squad. And so we don't have an overlap where you're actually communicating with somebody in the chain of command over the hearings. And I think that's going to go a long ways to creating a formal buffer that will prevent the possibility of improper ex parte communication. So when I signed up for us to do this presentation, we didn't know about COVID. And I thought that we were going to be talking a lot about how we were at natural inflection point, how SOA had kind of been put together in some cases with shoelaces and baling wire from the hearing staff of a bunch of different agencies, and had kind of a scrappy can-do attitude that kind of led to some inconsistent policies that made individual programs work really well. but we, because we are enacting this new information system, we were taking a step back and looking, how can we make the whole system work better, especially in light of having to add this new docketing function. COVID-19 has been a difficult thing, but it has put our technology plans into a time warp. We had just gone online bringing SOA to use the e-file Texas system that the judiciary uses a few weeks before things started shutting down with the COVID-19 response. And since then, we have gone past thinking, gee, it would be nice to investigate video hearings to see if there's an efficient way that we can save folks money and keep them from having to come into Austin to talk about their plumbing license from, you know, McAllen, to actually doing that. And so that's been, it's made all the changes that we're going to talk about have gone from being, it would be nice, it would be a better practice, to pretty much, obviously, from our point of view on the operations side, being absolutely necessary. We have to have electronic documents. We have to have things uniformly handled. We have to have things uniformly formatted. We have to have evidence pre-filed in electronic format so that we can do Zoom hearings.